More than a million people in the U.S. have recovered from COVID-19, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. But even those who have gotten through the disease's initial effects can have lingering symptoms. We're going to check in now with two people who have contracted the coronavirus, Krista Thibodeau in New Braunfels, Texas, and Jennifer Dunlap in Columbus, Georgia. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you've both had very different experiences with COVID-19. Jennifer, let me start with you. You only had mild symptoms. What was your experience with the disease like?
So after a known exposure, I started to just make sure that I was paying attention, you know, to anything that I felt was a little different in my body. About 4 days later, I started feeling like these little pinches kind of throughout my body, which was almost like a nerve going off. Like it kind of felt like a little stabbing feeling. And it might be in my elbow, in my head, in my leg, just all different places in my body. And the next morning, I woke up and I had stomach issues and had to go to the bathroom, which was a little bit unusual. And then I had like a burning sensation in my back that increased into the night. And kind of felt like icy hot was all over my back. And that would be probably the worst that it got was that second day.
But no cough, no fever.
No, no cough. Didn't cough one time. Haven't coughed one time. No fever and nothing else.
And when did you decide to go get tested?
So I got tested because we all had we had a known exposure, which came from my office. Everybody in my office, we all decided this was maybe on a Friday. We all decided that that Monday we would go get tested. So I had previously ordered a test from LabCorp. And so I had one at home. And I also did a test at CVS, at the drive-through testing in CVS. Mm. You do that one yourself in your car. So I did those two tests the same day.
And I assume both of your tests came back positive.
Well, actually, both of those tests came back negative. So both of those came back negative. The person who we had the known exposure with, that person's test also came back negative. She tested that Monday before the Tuesday that I tested. And then we ended up testing again that next week. Her symptoms increased. And by the way, she didn't quarantine because she got a negative test result. Mm-hmm. But I did quarantine because I knew what I was feeling.
And it came back positive.
Yeah. And that's where the positive test results came
from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's turn to Krista in New Braunfels, Texas. Krista, you first tested positive back in early April and you ended up in the hospital. Tell us what your experience with COVID-19 was like at first.
Well, I started with one of the classic symptoms. I had a headache and I had shortness of breath. I've never been prone to headaches, but this was one of the strongest headaches that I've ever had in my life. In fact, I still have the headache. It's been 112 days, and I'm still suffering from that same headache. And I had the shortness of breath, which is what took me into the urgent care. And I was diagnosed with bilateral pneumonia, and that took me into the hospital. I was transferred to another hospital in San Antonio, where I spent the most of the time there. And then, thankfully, I was released 5 days later. I had the coughing, I had the digestive issues. So I had a lot of the classic COVID issues.
And you had a fever.
I had a fever. I had a high fever, especially in the hospital. I didn't have a fever going into urgent care, but once I got into the hospital that night is when my fever really spiked. It was 102 and then 103, 104 over the stay in the hospital. So it spiked really high once I was in the hospital.
And the only lingering symptom for you at this point, months later, is a headache?
Months later is the headache, 112 days with the headache.
Wow. And what do doctors think is the reason for that?
I've had two MRIs. I had a spinal tap this past week, and I've got an appointment with my neurologist to follow up on that this week. We're looking at intracranial hypertension is what they're thinking it might be caused by the virus. Because the virus is so new, a lot of the doctors are still learning as they go. But I've seen a lot of information on, you know, the neurological side of what's happening with this virus and how it's infecting the brain, especially with inflammation and things like that.
And do doctors believe that you are still contagious or that you have been for a lot of this time?
No, definitely not contagious, but it did take me about 6 weeks to test negative. I tested positive first April 3rd and didn't test negative until May the 12th.
And did you quarantine that whole time?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we were mandated by the county and we took it very seriously.
I wonder one other thing, which is when you go into the doctor for follow-up appointments to deal with this, you know, usually now when you go into a hospital, they take your temperature, they ask you all these questions. I assume when you say, yes, I did have COVID-19, and yes, I have had these symptoms, what is that like?
To be honest with you, it's a little bit disheartening. This past visit to the neurologist, I literally had the nurse grab her items and leave as if I had the plague. It was upsetting. Some people are compassionate, some are not. So it's been a mixed bag of results or reactions, I should say. It's been hard.
I wonder how each of you feel having had these experiences about the debate that is going on in this country right now about how severe the lockdown should be, how much people should require that masks are worn everywhere. I'll start with you, Krista. What do you think about what everybody's talking about right now?
I wish that people would respect one another. I know for me and my family, it's left an indelible mark, especially on me and my health. And I wish people would take it seriously. It's not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not just a meme. It has taken the lives of many people, and it needs to be taken seriously.
Jennifer?
I agree with that. I found at the beginning, I had no idea of how things were going to develop for me. And so I experienced a lot of fear and anxiety. And so I was able to, you know, then go and find online groups where people were talking more about their experiences. And that's when I feel like I really learned how bad it could be for people. And then also, I mean, it hasn't been pleasant even having a mild case. I thank God that I did have almost no symptoms, but at the same time, I haven't seen my family. I still haven't seen my family. I have three sons and a husband, and I've been by myself. I'm still waiting on a negative test result. I just tested again yesterday to see if that was going to give me a negative test result, because I absolutely would feel terrible if anyone else in my family or my circle were to experience this, even if they had a mild case. I wouldn't want that at all for my loved ones. So that's been unpleasant also. And I don't think people grasp that either. There's the other aspects of it, even if it's just something small to one person, you still can't be around the people that you love and move about, you know, life freely.
There are big questions about whether people who have already had the virus are immune from it or how long they're immune from it. And doctors don't really know yet. Do each of you think that you are immune from getting it again? Krista, do you think so?
I'm still afraid. I've not stepped foot in a store in a public place since, you know, the beginning of March. I don't think I'm immune. I wouldn't dare to imagine that I am.
And Jennifer?
Well, I think there's a period of immunity, but I feel kind of like, you know, for the next 2 weeks, as a matter of fact, I just made a dental appointment for all the things I wasn't doing before that I need to go ahead and do. I'm really trying to just get those things in this next 2 weeks. And yeah, of course, I'm still by myself right now. And then after that point, no, I don't believe I'll have immunity that I would feel certain about. And, you know, we're taking all precautions at my office and at my home.
Let me just finally ask you one other thing, because you're both from populations that are disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Jennifer, you're African-American, and Krista, you're Latina. I wonder how each of you feel about that aspect of this. Jennifer, I'll start with you.
Well, I feel like here locally with the African-American population, there is, it seems to me, people don't really believe what's happening. It's like they almost have to have someone close to tell them, like, this is real and this is really happening. Someone who they know has to go through something terrible with it in order to really understand. And so that's been tough. And I don't know if that's just a general mistrust of mainstream media, or maybe the sources that people are accessing are different around the country.
And what about you, Krista?
We're all members of the human race, and if they're not going to listen, they're not going to listen. You know, it's disheartening.
Do you think that members of the Hispanic community, though, where you are in Texas, are believing in how serious this disease is?
I don't think they are.
Well, I wish you both the best of luck, especially you, Krista, because it sounds like you have just been having these headaches for so long, and I hope that those go away very soon. And Jennifer, I hope you have continued success in not having any more symptoms from COVID-19. But I appreciate both of your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Dunlap in Columbus, Georgia, and Krista Thibodeau in New Braunfels, Texas, each sharing their very different experiences with the coronavirus. Well, have you recovered from COVID-19? Let us know what you've been dealing with if you've had the virus at hereandnow.org.